Over the years, and especially in the context of counseling, I have seen a look. I call it, it's too late, look. Usually people roll their eyes, shake their head. Sometimes they purse their lips. You've seen the look. You're talking to a friend on the verge of divorce, and you say to them, can't you try one more time? And they give you the too late look. They roll their eyes, they shake their head. Your husband and your father haven't spoken for a couple years, and so you say to your husband, can we try one more time? And he looks away, and he gives the look. The bottom falls out of your own personal economy, and someone says to you, you can go back to school. You can learn a new trade. And what do? You give them the look. It's too late. I'm too old. Too late to save a marriage. Too late to reconcile. Too late to start a new career. The too late people are everywhere. In fact, there are a lot of too late people here this morning. And perhaps maybe you're a too late person. And by the way, if you are, you're not exactly in bad company. There have been a lot of people that are too late. Abraham and Sarah, it's too late. We'll never have an heir. Moses, I'm too old. This is too late. I'm 80. There's no way that I can deliver a people from Egypt. Hannah, it's too late to give birth to Samuel. Zacharias and Elizabeth, it's too late for us to ever have a child like John the Baptist. Last time you remember, Mary and Martha, it's too late to help Lazarus. It's just too late. And if you're not a too late person, you certainly have too late moments where you express either verbally or non-verbally that from your point of view, it's just too late. And again, you're in good company because that's exactly what Peter did. And Peter, you would have thought, in his too late experience with the Lord, would have learned something he would never forget. But he does. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We're in a series that I've called Conversations with Jesus. We dealt with a skeptic, Nathanael, and a religious insider, Nicodemus, and an immoral outsider, the woman at the well. We've also dealt with legalistic Pharisees and a conversation Jesus had with the devil himself. And last time we dealt with Jesus having a conversation for grieving believers, Mary and Martha. The context here in chapter 5 and the scene is found in the first verse right at the end when it says the Lake of Gennesaret. It's really the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias, different names. You know it, you're familiar with it. 13 miles by 6 miles, not large, but certainly not small. Today, it's kind of a sleepy place. There are tourists that go there every once in a while and look around because the Sea of Galilee is famous to us, especially Christians. But in the day of Christ, it was a hub. There are people everywhere. In fact, one historian said at the time of Christ, there were 9 different cities around the Sea of Galilee that had populations of over 15,000 people. And whenever Jesus went there, especially in this case, early in his ministry, there are people everywhere. And that sort of sets up the scene. He had just finished, if you look at verse 44 of the prior chapter, Luke says he had kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. He had a ministry in Judea in the south, and now he's up at the Sea of Galilee. And now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret. And he saw 2 boats lying on the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them. They were washing their nets. The crowd is so large and so pressing on Jesus, he keeps backing up. they keep coming forward. To finally, he finds himself right on the edge of the sea. And then he gets an idea, and he sees the boats. And so he decides maybe one of those would help me a great deal. And it said in verse 3, he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. And he asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When you compare that verse with what was said in verse 1 and listening to the word of God, just imagine what that'd be like. We never get these. Rarely do we get these type of things. The information, what was Jesus teaching? He was teaching the word of God. He's teaching the Old Testament. Could you imagine Jesus Christ just spending a whole morning teaching the Old Testament? You remember the men on the road to Emmaus, and he taught them the Old Testament concerning himself. And they said, our hearts burned within us when we heard him teach the Old Testament. Just imagine what that would have been like. And he's in a boat, and he's in a boat of Simon's. Now, Simon had been fishing, and he was fishing all night long, and he's tired. He's really tired, but he's listening. So he says to Simon, it says, and when he had finished speaking, he comes up with this idea. And he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. That is not exactly what Simon wanted to hear. By the way, the deep water in the Sea of Galilee is 140 feet. That's really deep water, that small lake. There's something else, though. Simon is introduced again. You see, I think perhaps you have never thought about this, but Simon was really called in stages. The disciples were called that way. In John 1 was the first calling, the first time he said, follow me. And then in Mark 1 and Matthew 4, you have a second occurrence, and this is the third occurrence. And it's not only for Simon Peter, but for James and John, the sons of Zebedee as well. Jesus teaching the word of God. The last thing in the world Simon expected to hear was that. Put out in deep water and let down your nets for a catch. You don't fish in the daylight. It's not good fishing. And certainly not deep water. You fish at night. And you fish in the shallow water because the coolness of the water, the fish come closer to shore. And by the way, their nets are only so long. And so deep water fishing is very hard. And Simon's already had a very long, long night. Every single time that they cast, he'll say in a moment, every single time, when they started to pull the nets in, they realized they're empty. And so that morning, all he had, beside being extremely tired, was sore hands and an aching back. And so when Jesus said that, I know exactly what Simon did. He rolled his eyes. Or he shook his head. It's too late. It's too late. Hey, I know you're Israel's Messiah. I know you're from Nazareth and a phenomenal carpenter, but I'm a professional fisherman. Not only am I a professional fisherman, my dad's a professional fisherman. My grandfather, my uncles, we're all professional fishermen. I know when to fish. This is my territory. Notice, Simon is very, very nice about it. He said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. You see, there it is. Let me paraphrase it. It's too late. That's what he is saying. It's too late. No disrespect, but it's too late. You say the same kind of things all the time. You're not fishermen, though. Sobriety? Oh, no, I could never get sober. I've tried. I mean, I've tried. I've been in and out of programs. I've tried. It's too late. I can't deal with it. Solvency? Man, my debt is like an anvil hung around my neck. There's just no way I'm going to make it headway with this. I mean, I've talked to financial planners. It's too late. Happy marriage? I've tried. Conferences, seminars, I read books. We went to a counselor. What a waste of money. I tried. It's too late. We're too late people. You see, it's too late. You want me to get involved in what? Do you know how old I am? It's too late. This is too late. We say it in a thousand different ways. And now the Lord is asking us to go fishing in the middle of the morning in deep water. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Because it's never too late for Christ. It's never too late for Christ. You see, that's the point. He knows what Simon's thinking. He knows what they're all thinking. It's never too late for Christ. Boy, you think we'd have learned that last week with Lazarus. 4 days dead. Too late. Never too late for Christ. You see, it's never too late. No matter what the great decision in your life, it's never too late. The thief on the cross, it's never too late. One of the things that I am most joyful of is people in this congregation and men that I know in particular who have come to Jesus Christ in their 70s and 80s. It's never too late with the Lord. It's never too late. That's what he is saying. The second point is this. He is capable of doing more than you could ever imagine. You see, maybe we should follow Peter's lead. That even though he had that thought, notice what he says then. He said, but I will do as you say and let down the nets. I'll do it. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and they filled both of the boats, and they began to sink. By the way, this isn't a pirogue. This isn't a John boat. These are commercial fishing boats. They're good size. They have crews on them. I remember when I first moved here, a man who was a Cajun who went to our church talked about the good old days. And he said that they actually would catch, at times, speckled trout, so many speckled trout that the pirogue would want to sink. They'd just fill it. This is much bigger than that. Do you know how many times this kind of thing happens on the Sea of Galilee? Never. Peter knows that. Never. They have so many fish. You see, the idea, again, is he's capable of doing more than you could possibly imagine. How did this happen? Luck? He was lucky. We know better, don't we? The consensus is sort of like, well, he knew where the fish were. Clearly. I like what Chuck Swindoll said. Maybe he created the fish and put them in the net. You see, would you be shocked by that? Did he ever work with fishes and loaves before? Fed 5,000 men and their families? Remember when there was taxes to be paid? They paid taxes from a coin they found in a fish. One commentator said it this way, he knows what nobody knows, and he can do what nobody does. That's why it's never too late for the Lord in your life. No limitations. His only limitation is his sovereign will. What it is that he wills. And so please, when you speak of your addictions and your failures, your limitations, your lousy marriage, whenever you talk about that, your illness, whatever it is, please, please, don't say, it's too late. It's never too late with the Lord. Not ever. And you might be surprised at what he can do. Well, when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. What a great response. When the Lord intervenes in your life like that, how about this? Personal worship. Personal worship. He just falls at his feet. Why? He has seen Christ now for who he is. And whenever you see Christ for who he is, guess what? You see you for who you are. Anytime somebody is in the presence of God, it's the same response. Notice Peter's request, Lord, get away from me. Please leave me. I'm a sinful man. The exact opposite, by the way, of why Jesus brought this event. He wanted to draw Peter closer to him. He wanted to change Peter's life. He wanted Peter to stop this idea that it's too late. He says, for amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of the fish which he had taken. Amazement. That word, by the way, is thamus, and it basically means wonder or shock. Let me ask you this. Are you amazed by Jesus Christ? More importantly, are you amazed that he's touching your life? Amazed. You see, it's a good question to ask, isn't it? Because so often we're not amazed. Peter is amazed by this. Well, whenever this happens, not too late for the Lord. He's capable of doing things we couldn't possibly imagine. Notice the aftermath. It says, and so were the James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and the partners of Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not fear, from now on you'll be catching men. He told him that before, by the way. He said, you'll be catching men. Yeah, you're going to be a fisherman, but you're going to fish for men. The highest calling on earth, catching people with the gospel net of Jesus Christ. Because that's what you're called to do. That's why you're born, Peter. That's why you're here. You know what, though? But so often, no one decision's not enough. How many times in your life have you said, from now on, I'm going to be right with the Lord? I'm going to be right. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. How many times? You see, you start out well and you start doing it, and then what happens? Sink right back. That's exactly what happens to Peter. Just a couple years later, this man who confessed Jesus Christ in the water denies Jesus Christ by the fire. He denies him. Not once, not twice, but three times. He doesn't deny him to the Romans or to necessarily the authorities, but to a servant girl. His last denial could have within it a context of cursing the Lord. What happened? You see, what Jesus wanted from Peter in this incident is that Peter to go from a too late person to an all in now person. Look, Peter, don't say it's too late. Let's go all in now, but I want you to be fishers of men. I want you to do what I'm asking you to do. And then after he denied Jesus Christ, you know what Peter thought? It's too late. Lord can't use me now. It's too late. Went right back to a too late person. Turn with me now to John 21, the Gospel of John 21, right near the end of the Gospel. Now, you'll remember that after Jesus Christ had appeared from the dead and through resurrection twice to them, he told them on the second occasion, he told them that I go to Galilee to a mountain and I will meet you there. Well, they get to Galilee, but there's no mountain. Peter doesn't want to go to a mountain. He's doing what we often do. He's preoccupied with feeling sorry for himself. So Peter decides to do what he knows. He wants to go fishing. And after these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the two sons of Zebedee and two others of the disciples were there. There were seven of them there. And Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we also will come with you. And they went out and got into the boat. Oh, and it was night. And that night they caught zip. Nothing. Deja vu all over again. You see, they're going to experience the same thing. By the way, here's a principle you have to understand. If you, on your own accord, through your own willful actions, don't learn an important lesson that the Lord has for you, he's likely to bring it about again. That's just my experience. You're going to experience it again and again and again. He's very patient when it comes to us. Now, verse 4, but when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. And yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And so Jesus said to them, children, you do not have any fish, do you? And they answered, no, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll find a catch. Now, I would imagine many of the other guys, especially not James and John and Peter, you know what the other guys probably did at that moment? Rolled their eyes, shook their head. We've been on left side, right side, front side, back side. We've been on this side of the lake, that side of the lake, nothing. But maybe Peter or James or John said, I think you ought to cast it in. I think I remember something like this happening before. And so they do. And so they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. And therefore, he says, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, it's the Lord. You got to love John, you know, Peter. I'm telling you, that's the Lord. And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and he throws himself into the sea. He's like, that's the Lord? He just throws himself in. He always, always, always acts before he thinks with everything he does. You might be that kind of person. Great emotion, great zeal. Not a lot of wisdom sometimes. But the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So Peter went 100 yards after a night of fishing. And by the way, the kind of clothing they had, when you're in the water, I have a hunch that's going to drag you down. But Peter had the zeal. So when they got out of the boat and they got on land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. There's already fish on the charcoal fire. Now, by the way, it's not their fish. They're bringing their fish in. Where'd he get the fish? Was he just lucky? Was it a coincidence? Did he know where the fish were? Or as Chuck Swindoll might say, did he create the fish on the charcoal fire? I don't know. Jesus knows things no one else knows, and he can do things no one else does. But notice what he's doing. He's giving them breakfast. Now, please understand, there's a little background to this. He told them that for as long as they lived, I will provide for you. And so here they are at post-resurrection, and he says, how would you like breakfast? I told you I would provide for you. Tells us the same thing, by the way. You see, he tells us exactly the same thing. Well, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish, 153. Although there were so many, the net was not torn. When you have fish of that size, that many, and their size nets, they usually tear the net up. But the net's not torn. Now think of this, just on the basis of what's happened so far. It's never too late for the Lord. They caught the fish over the one side of the boat. Two, he's capable of doing more than they could imagine. It's the same message, the same thing. And Jesus said, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples ventured to question him, who are you? Knowing it was the Lord. One thing by now in their ministry, they know through all the gospel accounts, please don't open your mouth and prove that you don't understand anything. You know, don't be embarrassed by what it is you're going to say. And Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them, the fish likewise. And this is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he raised them from the dead. And now he wants to go back to the lesson. And so when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? By the way, there's something very important here. What's the motivation of ministry for Jesus Christ? You see, why do I live my life in a certain way? It's not because I'm afraid. It's not out of someone making me feel guilty. It's not fear. That's the motivation of religion. My motivation is love. That's the motivation. Jesus wants to say to Peter, Peter, are you motivated? Do you love me? Now, he uses the word agape or agapao. Do you agape me, Peter? That's the willful choice you make to love. It's not conditional. It's unconditional. It's I will love you forever no matter what. For God so loved the world, he gave his son. It's the hesed of the Old Testament in Hebrew. He says, do you agape me, Peter? Now think of how Peter felt. He's already saying it's too late. Lord's never going to use me. I don't want to meet the Lord on the mountain. I'm going back to what I know. I'm going back to fishing. Peter had to feel so much personal guilt at that time. And notice, he said to Jesus, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, you know that I phileo you. He changes the word. Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? He says, Lord, you know I phileo you. Now, phileo is different. Phileo is great affection. Phileo is friendship. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, has phileo. Phileo is that kind of, it's much more common kind of love. Jesus says, do you agape me? He says, well, Lord, you know I phileo you. Jesus is undeterred by that. He says, tend my lambs. What do you mean? All in now. Now, Peter's thinking, too late. It's too late. Too late for me. Jesus says, look, all in now. Tend my lambs. Wow. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. All in now. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you phileo me? Wow. Now, how do you think Peter felt now? Simon, do you agape me? Lord, you know I phileo you. Simon, do you agape me? Lord, you know I phileo you. He said, Simon, do you phileo me? Wow. Just think of how Simon felt. The Lord's questioning whether he even phileos him. You see, it's a different word. The Lord's even questioning that. And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, notice Peter has grief over this. Do you phileo me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. See, what Simon can't do is he can't say to the Lord, Lord, you know I love you. I agape you. I phileo you. And you know why? Look at my life. You see, look at what I've done. Peter can't say that. Peter says, look, Lord, you know because you know everything. You see, because you're omniscient and you know my heart, you know I love you. But you can't look at my life. How many of us are the same way as that? How many of us can come in here and sing, oh, how I love Jesus? But our life doesn't show it. People would never look at the life and say, boy, she or he loves Jesus. I sing it on Sundays. See, I think for some of us, if the Lord looked me right in the eye and said, Bill, do you love me? Maybe I'd be tempted just to do what Peter did. Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Peter said, look, my heart's right, but my life has not been. Jesus is like, Peter, you don't understand it. You still don't get it. You keep thinking it's too late. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Jesus is saying, Peter, it's not too late. Let's get about doing it. You see, for the believer in Jesus Christ, it's never too late. For the unbeliever, it's never too late to come. For the believer, it's never too late to be used by the Lord. Never. Well, you don't know my past. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. If it's the Lord's will, it's never too late. For example, when you take something like marriage, I think I know what the Lord's will is. It's never too late. Now, you can roll your eyes and shake your head and say, "Ah, you're wrong. It is in my case." But you'd be wrong. It's never too late for the Lord. You see, that's the point that he's trying to make. Now, what's what he says to back it up? He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself up and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone will gird you and bring you where you do not want to go." I believe Peter's heart melted when he heard those words. He was so happy to hear those words. But they're not happy words, by the way. What is he saying to Peter? "Peter, you have a future. You have a future. You're going to grow old. You see, Peter, you have a future here. And oh, by the way, it's going to end with crucifixion." "What?" "Yes. Notice how he says it. You're going to be go where you don't wish." And he says, "And stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you." He said, "Peter, that's what's going to happen to you." And Peter, you know what Peter had to think right then? "He's going to use me. He's going to use me." And by the way, once you go from Pentecost on, Peter's one of the great leaders of the church. I think, by the way, Jesus did this all this publicly for everyone to hear. Because if Peter is going to be the lead apostle as of Pentecost until Paul shows up on the scene, everyone else had to hear it. "Peter, I'm going to use you. Peter, you're reinstated." You see, that's what happened. And by the way, I know what it was because look what John writes in verse 19. "Now this he said, signifying about what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he looks to Peter one more time and says, follow me." That's how it started. Follow me. You see, I don't know about you, but I love that about the Lord. No matter how many failures I have, it's always the same thing. You see, it's always the same thing. When it's all gone, and I acknowledge my sin, and I confess it to the Lord, and I receive his forgiveness, he then always looks me in the eye and says the same thing. Follow me. Follow me. Let's go. It's too late. No, it's not too late. You see, it's not too late. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're here, it's not too late. You see, that's what he is saying. And Peter gets it. He understands it. By the way, Peter never fished for fish again. He was done fishing. He spent the rest of his life casting out the gospel net for souls, for people. And he said to all those people, "I'm sure it's not too late to try again. It's not too late to try again." He shepherds the sheep. You see, one of the most important things you do as an under-shepherd for Jesus Christ is to say that to people. "It's not too late to try again. It's not too late to try again. It's not too late to try again. It's not too late to try again." But it's not easy because you have to do it against the backdrop of rolling eyes and shaking heads. It's not a lesson that's easily learned for us. So let me ask you just a couple things. One, have you given Christ your boat? See, when Jesus said, "Could I have your boat?" Have you given him your boat? By the way, what I mean by that, your struggle, your dilemma, your heartache. Give it to him. Just give it to him. Are you willing to let him take you out to the deep water in the middle of the day? You see, I know that we love nighttime shallow water solutions. We love those. Well, we tried almost everything and it doesn't work. Jesus said, "Let me take you deep water. And I'll tell you to cast your net. Will you cast it?" You see, the deep water solution of Jesus is simple. You see, it's simple. Let me give you an example about so much angst that's in so many lives. So many people have relational pain because they will not forgive. Is Jesus clear about forgiveness or not? You see, it's as clear as could be. Cast your net. Forgive. Oh, is there any condition on it? Yes, as you were forgiven. Lord, but when's it going to be too late? How many times? 70 times 7. There's no limit. You mean I just keep forgiving? Yes. I think it's too late. It's never too late with Jesus. You see, we've got to cast your net into the water. Once he says where he wants you to do, you've got to do that. You see, there's so many things when you think about it. In the context of marriage counseling, I'm always amazed of so many things Jesus has said about it. Yes, he's talked about the respect that a wife has for a husband and the kind of sacrificial love that a husband has for his wife. But how about this? Consider everybody else as more important than you are. That's out of Philippians. That includes your wife. You see, that includes your husband. Just consider each other as more important than you. Follow his instructions completely. Stop rolling your eyes and shaking your head. And so the next time, you're thinking, you're saying, or you're non-verbally communicating, it's too late. It's just too late. I want you to learn the lesson of Peter. You see, what did Peter see when he brought that net in? He didn't see the fish. He left the fish. He saw the Lord. He saw how great the Lord is. So the next time you're thinking it's too late, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the Lord just whispering to you. It's never too late. Just let me in the boat. Let's pray. Father, we're so easily discouraged. And when something doesn't go our way, and we usually give it some effort on our own part to see what our flesh can really do, and we don't get any solutions. In our discouragement, we think or say it's too late. Too late to start over. Too late to make it right. Too late. Father, I pray we learn this lesson. The lesson of Peter. It's never too late for the Lord. And Father, when you intervene into our lives, you are capable of doing anything in the context of your will. Father, I pray that the next time that we're tempted to say or think it's too late, we're reminded of the story of Peter. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.